very worried that there's runoff into the river. So what I need is better information about the nature of the soils, the nature of the short-term weather and the season's weather, as to whether it's going to be a good season or a bad season. I need to know about the susceptibility of runoff to the river. I need to know about the susceptibility of leaching to groundwater. We've got all the data, we saw it this morning. What I need as a farmer is information of a combined nature, so that the opportunity we're discussing is a tool which draws on these data sets in such a way that when I push my question in, how much nitrogen should I put on this field today, I am being given the information I need. So it's a sort of smart N kit, and it's got to work for me in my wellies. That's the point. And the question I just posed is, why am I going to spend money on that tool instead of talking to my ag advisor that I've always done over the last 20 years? Because I trust him and he's good. So we've got to see something which is going to make me make a change, a cultural change, as well as something which improves the efficiency of nitrogen. Deliver that and I'll buy it.
Great stuff. Well, big old round of applause.
That's great. The bar's been set high with that first one. Really, really fantastic. So, who's next? Come on. Who's next?
Well, volunteer at this table.
If you make eye contact, you may be stood up here. Okay, go for it.
Are we working? Yep. Okay, this table had an idea of combining soil type data from the geological survey, not society, I said earlier on, and combining that with knowledge that we have at BRE about the embodied environmental impacts of construction materials. So if you imagine at the beginning of a project, an architect, before the structural engineers involved, is looking at a particular site, they'll be making assumptions about the design of the substructure, and that'll be done without any knowledge of the soil type, which has a big effect on the types of substructure solutions that can be used and the quantities of materials that you'd need. So because assumptions are made at the beginning of projects and often carry on throughout the project, or later on you find that the situation is completely different from what you expected, this can have a big effect on the budget, how much it's going to cost to put in a suitable substructure solution, what the environmental impacts are going to be, and also the integrated design of the entire building is going to relate to the substructure. So combining structural engineering knowledge, embodied impacts data, life cycle assessment data and soil type data into a single tool that can be easily accessible by architects and usable would look like a good solution to that.
Thank you. So I see there's quite a few data tools that are going to be created, as well as just using the data sets itself. Good, who's next? I think we have a gentleman over here, ready to go.
Okay, we tried to stick to our theme of transport. We've got one relatively simple idea. If people wanted to plan their routes when they're driving to reduce fuel consumption, we'd like to provide them with a mixture of the geographic data, current traffic information, maybe the weather data, and their map information to help them plan a journey that reduced their fuel consumption rather than just focusing on maybe time travelled, which tends to be what the current systems do. We also thought a slightly more global scale for ships navigating through polar regions. We might be able to combine some Earth observation data from satellites with the geographic data and the polar data and again the weather data to help ships find the lowest risk route through the dangerous waters. And I'm sure people are doing this already, but maybe there's some better data out there that can help reduce the risk for shipping.
We were talking about transport as well and thinking about the waste management industry. And in particular, when thinking about real-time waste management traffic in terms of hauling big amounts of waste around and whether you're doing that efficiently, going via the right routes. So imagine a system maybe in an urban environment where you had access to real-time air pollution information, real-time traffic management information, and plugged into the logistics sector, potentially you could have some way of informing lorry drivers of the most appropriate routes to get around town at any given time to avoid high air pollution incidents, to reduce costs for them and reduce CO2 emissions. We're not sure who should pay, maybe Boris.
Thank you. We'll give him a call later. So, who's next? This end, yeah, gentleman over there.
I was at the built environment table and got slightly stolen over to the energy table, so it's kind of a mashup of this. we talked about how you could take energy performance certificates for buildings and the recommendation reports that come out of those energy performance certificates, mash them against each other, and sort of map out for the country where different retrofit measures could be delivered. It could be a very helpful targeting tool for the Green Deal, which isn't having a huge amount of success at the moment. And companies like ours, Honest Buildings, who's a sort of tech startup in the real estate space, us and other app developers could take that data, apply it to all buildings in the country, and make it much easier for architects, engineers, construction companies to figure out how those projects could be delivered with economies of scale.
Excellent. You said there's a mashup of data. How much mashing up is taking place there?
Well, the whole thing is kind of under lock and key, and there's currently a business case getting put to central government to open up the EPC register. EPCs together have the recommendation report as well as the EPC, and there's a data file that supports the whole thing. So it would all potentially be there if we could just get it.
Yeah, please.
I've been in a similar position. My understanding is the EPC data is available on a one-off basis, or someone can buy license to a data set. So, for example, in a community situation like mine, the local authority bought the data set, and then you're allowed to make access to it under their license terms. So potentially, if the winners are a local authority, for example, maybe they'd be the licensed data set holder, so it's less of a mashup at that point. Just a suggestion.
Just quickly, what does EPC stand for? Excellent. Just in case anyone didn't know. Yeah. Good. That's really good. So, got a great mashup there. Who's next?
Another guy over here, please.
Yeah.
Great. We had a range of discussions on our table. One of the more interesting ones was to work with food growers and shops like Tesco's to try and give them an understanding of where they're going to be getting their food from in the future. So by combining soils information from the National Soil Resources Institute and climate modeling data, we can look at the suitability for growing crops in the UK, and if we look overseas as well, the source of crops into the future. And we're not just talking about food crops here. We could also expand that to more innovative crops like bamboo. We had a range of ideas of what you could do with bamboo, and maybe looking at identifying areas of land which might be contaminated or not able to be used for normal food production, and where you could grow these more innovative crops now and into the future.
Right. Thank you. Well done. Some good themes emerging here. Who's next? Which table hasn't spoken?
Hello, you guys. This, please.
We will get you eventually.
So we had an idea around the problem, which is the outdated bans for council tax. These bans are about 20 years old. So we thought, well, what data is out there that we could use to inform a study for rebanding of homes based on what they're actually worth now? And the first source of data that we looked at was geographic data. So this would be things like location. Obviously, location is a critical factor for the value of homes, and then combine that with other data, for example, the other environmental data that we have. So we've mentioned EPCs, they could be factored into the value of homes, but also things like local authority data, so Ofsted data would be critical for valuing homes too. And one of the benefits of this might be the fact that it's easily updatable, so that the situation that we have now, which is a 20-year time lag between studies, doesn't happen again.
Great, thank you very much. Give me a round of applause. So, I'm looking at who... This table here, I don't think you've spoken yet. Self-nomination in action there.
Nice. Sure. Okay, my idea is more an aggregation rather than a merge, but it's essentially merging the satellite data set, talking to Stephen from Catapult Satellite Applications, with our existing sensors of aircraft locations over London. We basically have a website which aggregates these sorts of data sets together to make people aware of what data is out there, what is currently happening on the ground, underground, and above their heads. And we basically just think pulling in the satellite data would augment our aircraft data and produce quite a compelling visualisation.
Okay, thank you very much. Who's next? This table here. Yeah, it looks like you're nominated.
We're thinking about the satellite image application in terms of producing a land cover map in a catchment scale to improve water quality. For example, you can link it with a disease pressure and have some kind of a networking with farmers to kind of arrange the pesticide application in terms of not everybody is applying in the same time to reduce the peak of chemicals in the water courses and creating some warning system, maybe a cloud system that farmers can upload all these data on the disease, and the water companies will aware of where is the high, you know, the spot areas in the catchment to apply more pesticides so they can manage it in more effectively. Okay. That was one of the discussion we had.
So you've got the solution, you just need to...
Yeah, so the solution is actually the ADAS is doing some work on this line, but not in a real time, and as well as not including the disease pressures, because we have to understand what's going on upstream with farmers, because if you have a bad crop with a high disease pressure, so the farmers intend to apply more chemicals, more pesticide. So in that case, if you have this warning system, you can have a more, diluting the application of the chemicals and improving the water quality downstream. And the water companies will reduce the cost of treatment. So it's a win-win situation, but we need the water company to pay, you know, to the farmers to be more effective in using their chemicals and pesticides.
Okay, thank you very much. Well done. Okay, who's left?
Basically, our suggestion's more about aggregating knowledge of where and what data exists, what data sets exist, and also potentially you could put that in a frame of reference so you could better see, for example, how you might aggregate social data or geographic with, you know, energy. Maybe there's some hard science data out there. At its easiest level, it literally would be just where is the data, but maybe there's opportunity to put more metadata against that about terms of reference, accessibility, and if people wanted to take it further and actually start to combine it, maybe that's a possibility.
Lovely, sure. Love it, really good. Okay, we missed anybody?
Have you guys spoken?
Go on.
Okay. So we talked about site selection for run-of-the-river micro-hydro energy generation, and we would overlap river flow data from CEH with maybe where local communities are that would use the energy with the OS data, effluent discharge from EA, and how we could connect to the grid as well, so where the nearest interconnector was, and have that all in one tool to help developers.
Great, nice and pithy, thank you. Anybody left?
Have you guys spoken? You haven't spoken yet. You did, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Of course you did.
This table here, yes. I think we're done. Are we done?
Have you spoken? Okay.
Yeah, we're all done. So some great ideas emerging. And one of the reasons for getting each table to feedback is to start sharing some of these ideas, because you might be able to help some of these things actually happen in reality.